It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, before we roll into hour number two, here's the week 7 UFL schedule. Saturday, the Renegades take on the Showboats. That's 1 Eastern on ESPN and ESPN+. Then the Stallions host the Battle
Hawks. Oh, that's me. I'm on that team.
What's that?
Stallions? I'm on that team, the Stallions.
You're
the,
all right.
Stop.
Sunday, our ESPN doubleheader is the Andrews DC Defenders.
I gotta go.
Noon Eastern, followed by the Brahmas and the Roughnecks. And with that, we welcome you back to Get Up. We're
you're
live from the Super Bowl.
I'm on the Stallions.
No.
Drea, you're on the Brahmas.
Renee doesn't get to call herself a Stallion on the show. It means a Stallion, really?
You're on the Brahmas. You want to be the Brahma?
No, I want to be on the Stallions, please.
Y'all need to stop. I'm not trying to get in this conversation. Y'all talking about Roughnecks, I'm out. I'm not green layout.
Yes, I will. Maybe later someone will explain to me what's going on.
That's exactly what went right over your head.
It's like a Black Twitter promo.
With all of that said, we're live at the Seaport, brought to you by Chase. If we do that one again.
Jay Will! He nailed the Black Twitter promo.
Yeah. He killed
you nailed it.
He killed it.
I did.
You did it. You're so good at those
reads. 30 for 30.
We'll discuss it later. I don't know.
It's cultural.
On the golf course or something like that.
It's cultural.
Okay. Fair enough. Can someone roll the game highlight, please? I'm begging you. Game 2 last night at the Garden. Pacers, Knicks. Here we go. Jalen Brunson. He's everybody's hero. He's been unbelievable in this postseason. Would it continue? Would he get injured? The last thing in the world the Knicks could possibly manage in Game 2. On the anniversary of Willis Reed limping back onto the floor, Jay Will, what exactly happens? We're going to see him asking out of the game. And then watch it here. Look at the right foot. It's hard to see anything that goes wrong on the replay.
Yeah, everybody was worried. It goes back into the locker room, gets it assessed, but then comes back out. And by the way, the Knicks are still in the ballgame considering he missed the end of the first and the second.
Despite Miles Turner, Drea,
bam!
Doing that.
I mean, it was Miles Turner in the paint. Tyrese Halliburton came out with aggression this series. This game, learned his lesson from game 1, turned it on for game 2 for the Pacers.
Halliburton had 34. The Knicks were minus 17 with Brunson off the floor, but that wouldn't last. Look at him quieting the crowd.
Calm down.
No one was calm in the arena last night as he came out at halftime and played the entire second half. And Chiney, he looked like himself.
So you're telling me there's a chance. He was slow. He didn't have an explosion at first, but then he used that big body for a reason, getting to the rim, getting downhill, and then also putting his defenders in a blender. But you just love the ball sharing. OG Anunoby had himself a game before the circumstances.
Well, let's show the circumstances. He had 28 points, and then this happened.
Give me that.
We got good defense.
Beautiful
pass. We got a great pass, and then OG. Oh, no, Jay Will. What?
Just blew a tire. I mean, you can tell the hamstring just goes out right there.
No.
That's so unfortunate.
28 points, 4 threes, and a blown tire.
And didn't play in the fourth, by the way.
Yeah.
And that doesn't look like a person who's going to play tomorrow or maybe Sunday or maybe longer. We'll get to that. Meanwhile, Brunson continuing to get work done in that fourth quarter. 4.5 minutes left. It's a 2-point game because, of course, it is. The Knicks are playing. And it's the Villanova guys. Drea, DiVincenzo from the corner.
I mean, how great was Hartenstein in the middle of the floor, finding his teammates, distributing the ball. He had 7 assists. They played through him at times, especially when they needed to.
DiVincenzo had 6 threes. Brunson, brilliant.
Mouse puts in the house.
But here's the moment now. Hartenstein. Now watch is dribbling with the left hand. The official blows the whistle and clearly makes the double dribble sign. But as we see here, Jay, the right hand never touches the ball. They overturn the call without a challenge. They just change their minds, and Rick Carlisle doesn't like it.
By the way, so Rick Carlisle, the combination between game 1 and then that moment, even in real time, was making a point to set the tone for game 3 and 4.
We'll talk more about it because Wendy made a good point about the way the decisions were made from game 1 to game 2. Either way, Brunson, unbelievable, 29 points, played the entire second half despite that injury. Carlisle, meanwhile, needed to get out of there early. 2 technicals, taking that one for the team, going at the officials late. And in the end, it is the Knicks who win, as they always do. Late, close games. 130 to 121 the final. It's the most points the Knicks have scored in a playoff game since 1990. And afterwards, Rick Carlisle, frustrated.
Their physicality is rewarded, and ours is penalized. Just, time after time. Small market teams deserve an equal shot. They deserve a fair shot. No matter where they're playing.
All right, so there are so many different conversations we can have coming off of that, and that was part of a very, very long series of comments that he made regarding that. Before we get into what they have done afterwards, and your reporting that I see now is all over social media about how, the number of plays they turned in and everything, how will the small market piece of this fly? Because what he's essentially saying is what fans of the league have believed forever. Oh, the league wants the Knicks. The league wants the Knicks because it's the Big Apple and it's the big market and it's all that kind of stuff. How will that go over with the folks up there in Midtown?
Well, this is a classic argument. It's catnip for people who believe in conspiracy, which is obviously very fertile at all times, especially in the playoffs, especially if your team loses. Rick has been around for a very long time. He knew exactly what he was doing. They took the high ground after game one because they didn't want to be viewed this way. It did not work, and they were incensed about two calls, especially. One, when Tyrese Halliburton gets pushed in the back in a non-call, not only that there was no call, but that Tyrese Halliburton's the star player with a back injury and that the officials were not protected.
Right, we have it. Here's the play he's talking about that. And the official is right there. It's difficult to figure how that call is missed.
Rick actually called out the official who he felt missed this call, which is usually a no-no when you say the referee's name.
It's a trail official, right? It has to be the trail official.
I mean, the official, I don't know.
The official on the right side is blocked by the people running on the right side.
I'm not going to get into all that, but I'm just saying that call and then... Yep. It wasn't a double dribble. Anybody who knows basketball knows it wasn't
a double dribble. The right hand never touches the ball.
But the fact that the officials ruled just immediately said, no, this call is wrong. The crew chief, Mark Davis, very experienced official. He was involved in Denver the other night getting stuff thrown at him. He comes in and says, no, this is not a double dribble. This infuriates Rick because obviously Monday night, it was obviously not a kicked ball.
Right.
And then that time, there was no review. There was nobody coming in, stepping in, saying nothing. He goes, wait a minute. Apples and apples here. Why is the Big Apple getting the call? Mm. And that is what, you build the case. I do not believe the referee is like, oh, are we in New York? Okay, we'll call this off. I think the referees are just trying to do their job. But the circumstances are perfect for Carlisle to make this a game three situation.
So I'll say that the defense was horrific for the Pacers last night. To me, that is the narrative. 130 points on 92 possessions. Worst defensive performance out of any team in the postseason this far. But to that point, Wendy, I will say this. One night when I watched Michael Malone run out onto the court and go ballistic, and then the following night I watched Rick Carlisle clap a couple times, and one coach does not get ejected for going ballistic, and another coach gets ejected. That says something.
What if I told you it was the same official?
Okay.
And I suspect.
So is that overcorrecting?
That's what I suspect. I do not know, but I suspect. The other thing was, one was in the second quarter, one was in the last minute of the game that was decided, but it was the same official.
That's then the more important question, because look, jockeying for calls and everything in between games, just see Riley, Pat, Jackson, Phil. I mean, this stuff has been going on forever. So that part of it is not surprising. Let's ask the more important question. Clearly, the officiating was a story in game one. There's no escaping that. Absent what anybody said, Chinee, did you think the officiating was a story in last night's game?
No. I do think it's being used to galvanize, be a catalyst, to motivate his team heading home, knowing that they have a tall task ahead of them because the Knicks defy all expectations and continue to win. But the story of game two was they were not able to capitalize on what New York gifted them. They had a game in which Jalen Brunson was not on the floor for a quarter. And what do? You do build a lead, but you also get yourself comfortable to the point where you don't have enough of a lead to come out with a win to split the series going to game three. If you saw what Brunson did, I mean, there's some plays that to me were a little bit inexcusable. Why don't you have TJ McConnell on the floor? Like, I don't understand. I do get that you want to match fire with fire, you know what I mean, with offense. You want to be able to keep up. That's their bread and butter. That's their identity. They're the second most high-scoring offense in the NBA. But McConnell and Brunson, y'all saw how many replays of them two going up the court. They were battling. McConnell has actually been doing a decent job bringing his offense. I was surprised that he wasn't there because Brunson had what? What was it, a 21 point? How many did he score in the fourth quarter?
24 of his 29 points in the
second half. Like, to me, When Brunson is going at that level and that you know that motivates his teammates, you choose to trap him and then Hartenstein is killing you. You have a bigger issue. It's defensive. It's not being able to match those minutes or maximize. OG Anunoby left the game and Pascal Siakam had a couple buckets, but those weren't sustained. How do you look at those matchups and get the most out of them? Because we know that they're maxing out. The Knicks are. They have the bodies. They can score off of the bench. They can score in fast break, but they're not doing it consistently enough. That was the bigger story.
It feels like Rick Carlisle wants his team to lean in to defense and rebounding, which is not traditionally what we have known this Pacers group to do. It's like he wants to change the personality of this team in the playoffs for this specific series. And what he's doing with the refs is allowing and asking the refs to give them the space to do so. He wants his team to be more physical. He wants his team to crash the glass, and he wants the refs to give them the runway to do that. We have to see if the Pacers can do it and get stops on the defensive end and rebound the ball, and we'll see if the refs adjust accordingly, even though I don't think the adjustments are from game two. It's from game one.
The most shocking thing I'm saying, Greeny, is watching down the stretch when T.J. McConnell came out the game in the fourth, they had a two-point lead.
Yeah.
Like it's a legit thing now. You have to ask yourself, for Rick Carlisle, does it behoove me to play Tyrese Halliburton down the stretch, considering how much of a liability he is defensively?
Well, let me ask the three players who are sitting here at our desk, because these are tough decisions coaches have to make. Tyrese Halliburton is, you know, you dance with the one who brung you. He's the horse that they rode all the way here. Now McConnell gets hot. Do you want to sit your star, the guy who I think figures to be the face of your franchise going forward, in the biggest moments because McConnell has gotten hot? That's a tough decision.
They can play them both.
I think it's them. Yeah.
Is it Nemhard they would take out?
It's Nemhard they would take out.
All right. Well, whoever it is, change what you normally do, I guess, is maybe the better way for me to put it. In the final minutes of these games, change it up now based on the hot hand in the playoffs.
I think T.J. McConnell's been playing at a high level the last several games, by the way. It's just not hot one game. Offensively, I know he's a liability shooting from the outside. I'd much rather have somebody press up against Jalen Brunson and him have to bump him off his spot. Nembhard plays with his hands down. Watch T.J. McConnell. It's way more active. I'm not saying he's going to stop Jalen Brunson. But at least make him work and keep it accumulating, right?
Well, like all of that is true. I still question what Jalen's going to have on that foot.
That's what I'm saying. That's why you press him. That's why you make him work more, considering the foot.
But McConnell had 10 points and 12 assists and a plus-minus of plus 10 in the 23 minutes almost that he played last night. So maybe we'll see some more of him. Adjustments are unquestionably coming. That's the way these series tend to go. But to me, the injuries are now going to be overwhelmingly the biggest factor. I mean, it's a MASH unit the Knicks are running at this point, basically. They were playing seven guys before. They've just lost. You could argue, as important, beyond Brunson, you could argue that because of what he does, Anunoby is as important to them as anybody else besides Brunson, based on his size and what he does. And if they've lost him and it looked really, really bad, then I'd be very worried. Let me break briefly and we'll come back. We'll have a lot more because we will dive into that. Oh, yes, and oh, no, at the Garden. It's another Charles Dickens kind of game. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. From the elation of a return to the agony of another huge injury, is Indiana now in control despite being down Love 2? Plus an MVP hat trick for Nikola Jokic. The question is, did the voters get this one right? You got a bunch of voters sitting at this table. We'll tell you what we think next. Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. All right, we are back. Knicks fans on the edge of their seats last night after Jalen Brunson suffered the right foot injury in the first half, missed the remainder of that half, came out at halftime, and lit it up again in the second half, as he has continued to, shooting and scoring 24 of his 29 in the second half, leading the Knicks to a 2-0 lead in this second round series. Brunson has been unstoppable in this postseason. He joins Michael Jordan as the only players in NBA postseason history to average 35 points and 8 assists through their first 8 games in the playoffs. And bear in mind, he would have played at least another 10 minutes last night or something like that if it hadn't been for the injury. So he's taken out of that, and it makes you think. Now he's had his Willis Reed moment, and literally on the anniversary of the Willis Reed game. So a question that comes to mind here is, has Jalen Brunson in the last 3 weeks elevated from someone who has made himself an NBA star to a legit NBA superstar? I turn to my NBA Today friend. Is Jalen Brunson now one of the true superstars of the NBA?
He is, and he comes in an unlikely package.
Yeah.
And I think because he's doing it for New York, it's truly impressive. And this is a guy who leads in fourth quarter scoring in the postseason. In the clutch time, that's 5 minutes left, game within five. He leads in that scoring. He leads all players in dribbles. But when he's doing the Brunson boogie, I need you all to watch this. He is in his bag, Birkin bag. He shot 14 of 21 in the series on them hard. He's dribbling, tempo dribbles. That was a huge three down the stretch. Then again, he blows kisses. That is a star right there. And he's typically cool, calm, and collected. So he is playing hard and with a purpose. Again, watch this. The boogie, queen, cross, behind.
Get a hand up.
Turn around, mid-range. I say that's a blind shot because you lose sight of the
basket.
That's
a body bag.
24 of his 29 points came in the second half. That is a body bag. He is killing his opponents. And to me overall, yes, when you think superstars, you want to say like, oh, my grandma knows who that player is, right? LeBron, Steph, he may not be at that level yet because it comes in an unlikely package, but it is so meaningful knowing that New York has found their guy and he's doing it defying all odds.
Well, let me change the question then, because we've talked a lot about who's the next face of the league. Remember, we had these conversations.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a moment where we thought Tyrese Maxey should be in the discussion. Anthony Edwards has clearly emerged as a player people will say that about. Is Jalen Brunson one of the faces? That he's 27 years old. He was a second-round pick. The entire league passed on him. Dallas walked away. I mean, allowed him to walk away because
people
they didn't want to
pay
$100
million. People said that about Jokic a couple years ago when he was drafted.
Yeah.
Not saying he's going to be a three-time.
Is Brunson one of the next faces of the NBA, J. Will?
Yes, because I think he's a superstar leader. Like he's, and that's a really big distinction. Between how I, because when I think about old school guard leaders, are you willing to say tough things to me, to my face, but also your play on the court backs it up. And that's who Jalen Brunson is. And I do feel they are one piece away from getting to a world championship. Like, you know, we could talk about who that piece is.
Please do.
Because Wendy and I were talking about it. Like, Giannis would be an interesting play in New York City.
Giannis. Giannis signed a contract extension in Milwaukee last year. We're putting him in New York now.
We got to stop thinking about people signing contracts. People can get out of contracts and forced to where they want to go.
Okay, I mean,
especially if they're cap restricted. There's a lot of names you can throw out there. I'm talking about a guy. It doesn't matter who you bring on his team. This is Jalen Brunson's team. Mm-hmm. But if you surround him with one more piece along with these other pieces.
It's not his team. If you get Giannis, that's
yes, it is.
Giannis still is like the biggest star in the whole league.
It still will be Jalen Brunson's team. His DNA is all over this team.
Well, I mean,
he'll still be the bona fide leader of the team. What does Giannis say about Dame when Dame hits clutch shots? Like, we got a guy close. You're telling me Jalen Brunson wouldn't be one of the best closers in the league? You're still going to look at him because he's your PG. He has the position of the leader. And by the way, he doesn't care if you're more talented than him. He leads in other aspects of the game because he thinks the game all the time.
What do you think? Brunson the face of the league going forward?
He definitely. He should definitely be in the conversation because if you think about, too, adding a piece to the Knicks, you're going to see Jalen Brunson operate in smoother fashion than we already are because he's going to have help. So the way he's going to be able to score, it'll be more efficient. He'll have more space on the floor. What he is doing with these guys around him that aren't necessarily stars is ridiculous. He's still able to get to his spots. He's still able to put the ball in the basket. He's going to do that and continue to do that with help coming.
So the question I'm about to ask is the reason Charles Barkley rips the Knicks fans all the time, because the Knicks fans put everyone on the Knicks next, right? Every superstar is coming.
Exactly.
Embiid is definitely going to be on the Knicks in the next 2 weeks. Devin Booker is going to be on the Knicks next year. Is there that move out there? Chiney said they're a piece away from being a championship team. Does that piece exist for them in the next year or two?
Yes. Number one, we have a bona fide way to show where Jalen ranks in the league. The MVP voting came out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He finished fifth. Mm-hmm. It was Jokic, SGA, two, Doncic, Giannis, Brunson.
Yeah.
There you go. I don't really need to say anything more than that, okay? Secondly, the reason that the Knicks are extremely interesting is that they have this team that has a great chance to get to the conference finals, and they are very upwardly mobile. Of all these teams in the league, you look at a team like Oklahoma City and a team like New York, because they have all these draft picks and everything like that, except the difference is New York has the draw of New York. So what I think the big thing for the Knicks, and then one of the reasons why the Knicks have gotten to this point, because they've been extraordinarily patient. They did not overpay for Donovan Mitchell. They did not overpay for, you know, Paul George or something like that that they could have tried to trade for. They went and have been patient building. They need to remain patient because they already have a top five player in the NBA right now.
I want to throw one more thought out there too, because one of the big stories of this day has been the Rick Carlisle comments and the small market things. So I got a text from someone whose opinion I value significantly. Now, it doesn't matter who it is, but someone whose opinion matters on this, who says, Carlisle is essentially challenging the integrity of the league office with the small market comment. Everyone knows it's not true. That's a big fine coming. They're about to triple their TV money. Big markets are gravy. No need to orchestrate or put thumbs on the scale. Now, all of us who are close to the situation are long aware there is no conspiracy here. The league is not deciding who wins and loses these games. I've been having this fight with fans going back to 2000 when Mike and I started on the radio. But the reason there was a two-minute report and the reason that all they have to be as transparent as they do is because people genuinely believe it. So when you have one of your high-profile coaches coming out after a game and not saying, hey, my team got screwed by the officials, but they screwed us because we're a small market team, that's a problem, right? We have a problem.
Yes, but you have to look at what exactly is going on. Rick Carlisle is not making a comment on small market versus big market. He's beginning game three. And if he could have complained about how much air was in the basketball, or he could have complained about the temperature on the court, he would do whatever it takes to begin to try to win game three. He elected, and he might even be smart in taking this route, he elected to make that an issue to apply pressure to help his team in game three.
That is interesting. I mean, it's an interesting path to take. And now all eyes will be on the officials, as they frequently are. Go ahead, Jay.
How many grievances did you say they filed?
Yeah. How many grievances?
Well, 49 from last night, which is remarkable. It's like Josh Hart. He plays more than 48 minutes.
Yeah.
They filed more than one per minute. And while they were on the server, they were like, what about the other 29 from the other night? Just drag and attach and send that too.
So they sent 78 plays to the league and says they were badly officiated against them.
They felt incorrect calls or non-calls that disadvantaged them. 78 from combination of game one and game two.
Someone in the league's got a lot. Busy morning, right? Look at that. We'll see. Okay, we'll take a quick break. So much more to get to here on this crazy basketball week. The Jamal Murray meltdown on Monday night was one thing. His reaction to it yesterday was another. We'll get into that. Plus Jokic MVP and a whole lot more. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify could do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/getup, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/getup to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/getup.
Jalen Brunson out of this game since late in the first, and the Pacers continue to push it. And Halliburton for three. Halliburton to Turner. Halliburton is feeling it right now.
Jalen Brunson is a GOAT leading up to the third quarter.
Brunson for three. Brunson off the glass, scores.
He'll pull a three.
I just knew I had to get my mind in the right place and attack the second half.
These Knicks are made for the close late games. The New York Knicks are going to go up 2-0 in this best of seven Eastern Conference semifinal series.
All right, we've been on it all morning long here as we get each the bottom of the hour on Get Up. The Knicks are 5-0 when trailing at halftime this year. Every game they've played in this postseason, by the way, has been a clutch time game, and they are 6-1 in those. You see, they win all these games. It's one shy of the all-time record for postseasons in which you win all of your games in which you trail at halftime. Much, much more on the Knicks and the Pacers as we go through here in this hour. But I want to get a few other things in here. Oh, by the way, the MVP of the league was named yesterday. And this is video the Nuggets released. This is Nikola Jokic finding out that he's the MVP of the league. Oh, look how excited he is. Holy smoke. I mean, could you be more nonchalant in your response?
Right. It's crazy. Just a little hand wave.
It almost looks like he's forcing himself to appear excited.
Well, they're down 0-2 right now. I mean, he ain't happy. Mm-hmm. He ain't happy.
You only get named the MVP of the league like three times in your life, or at least so far he has. And you see it there. Players to win three or more MVP awards going back to the beginning of the 90s are Michael, LeBron, and Jokic, which is a remarkable number. I mean, Jokic is climbing in terms of historical significance, historical accolades, historical accomplishments, and all that sort of stuff. SGA finished second, Luka finished third, Giannis fourth, and Jalen Brunson finished fifth. The three of us here are all voters for this. Let's start with that. Did you vote for Jokic number one?
My ballot was exactly the same top five. Yes, I did vote for Jokic number one.
We could put everybody's picks up there. You also voted for...
I voted for Nikola Jokic, correct.
Number one.
My first time voting, I'm very, very excited.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I don't think I've missed yet, but we're not going to talk about that today. It's okay.
Well, but so I was really torn, and it went down to the final day. And for those of you who listen to our radio show, Hembo and I dove into this on the day that I had to get my ballot in, and we went back and forth and back and forth on the numbers between Jokic and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who I know that you tell me your logic behind saying you would have voted SGA.
Yeah, I don't have a vote, and then this is clearly a subjective award. That's why so many people vote, right? So it makes sense. And Nikola Jokic had an incredible season. But what Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was able to do on the second youngest team in the league, leading them to the number one seed in the West, guys, he averaged 30 points on 54% from the field. No other guard averaged more than 20 points on 50%. No other guard. And look at this. Third in points per game. First in 30-point games. Tied for first in steals per game. And listen to this. I understand field goal percentage if you want to hold that against him. He's second among guards at just under 54% from the field. You know who's first among guards? TJ McConnell. Do you know how many field goal attempts TJ McConnell took in the regular season? 593. SGA took just under 1,500 shots in the regular season.
Yeah.
It's not even close.
Yeah.
So for him to average over 50% from the field, most of his points coming in the paint because of his ability to drive, which puts pressure on the defense, the speed that he plays at, again, on this young team, I just think it's the MVP season.
So in an analytics-driven era, people are going to change. People are changing the way we define the word value. It goes from something that your eyes can see. He was so valuable to his team, more so than this other player, which is the argument in favor of SGA, versus how much value, like literally just cracking down the numbers, and Jokic wins on that front easily. He is putting up numbers, analytics numbers, that the league has never seen before in its history. The reason I went this way is because I am constantly frustrated. You just saw on that list, Michael Jordan was the MVP of the league four times.
Stop.
It's a joke.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Michael Jordan should have been the MVP
other way
of the league at least eight times.
Correct.
And so my concern was that people will start having voter fatigue for for Nikola Jokic, and more to the point, that people will say, if we give him his third, now look at the company that we're putting him in. I don't want to do that. And I felt that's not the way I want to vote. I want to vote based on who deserved it this year. And so I voted Jokic, but it broke my heart not to vote for SGA.
I mean, when people compare Jokic to last year, that's unfair. You can't compare his numbers to last year. You compare them across the course of the league for this season. And I agree with a lot of points, Andrea, with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. But, I mean, the guy averaged damn near a triple-double, over 55% shooting from the field. I mean, his numbers were off the charts. it's hard. Like, it's a toss-up between those two for me.
Yeah.
I don't think it's as definitive as it has to be this guy over this guy.
I agree, and I hate to bring this up because the soundbite that we refer to is James Harden when he said, "I am the system."
Right.
But Nikola Jokic is truly the system.
Mm-hmm.
And we can talk about last year, because the reason Jokic didn't win was a lot of people said, oh, well, Joel Embiid plays on both ends of the floor, right? He's averaged 12 rebounds this season. He is one assist shy of averaging a triple-double. Based off of those numbers, he generates, let's say, around 40-45% of the Nuggets' offense. The reason why, and they also finished the same record at the regular season, because at the end of the day, you vote after the regular season, right?
Finished
with the same record as OKC. To me, it's the fact of his impact on everything else versus Shea, not to knock what Shea has done, but overall, you see a team that is perfectly tailor-made for his success. He generates 40 to 45%. He improved, at least snatching rebounds. This is not the Jokic that we have come to know the last two or so games, but to me, that's why I voted him MVP.
And the league, there's no good time for them to announce this. I feel bad for them because, I mean, here they are announcing it. To your point, he's down 2-0. It all feels awkward. I remember the year they gave Nowitzki the MVP award, right, and he was getting swept.
The season was already over. They were eliminated.
That's what I mean. They were already out.
Yeah.
One year, when they had that, like, post playoffs party or whatever that special was, they gave Dwayne Casey Coach of the Year. He had already been fired.
That's right.
So, I mean, it's a super there's just no good time for them to make these announcements. So I sort of sympathize with them. Now,
I think it's harder for guards. That's all I'm going to say. Shanae, you're going to hate this. I think it's harder for guards.
And you play what position again?
I played guard.
Yes,
I'm just saying. I'm just... Don't you think it's harder for guards?
Come back to me. You said my name. My good sis, just because we are in the era where we are seeing the most skilled basketball players, including the centers, does not mean that it's just the guards. The guards have had their time with MVP. Now the most dominant players can affect the rim. They can affect the three-point line, Joel Embiid shooting. I mean, look at what we're talking about.
It's amazing.
Jokic is a guard, by the way. He's a center.
Meanwhile,
his team is in big trouble, and his second best player on his team also in big trouble. Jamal Murray, we know about the $100,000 fine, no suspension after this the other night, throwing the towel and then the heating pad out onto the court, which it went there. He was throwing them at the official. Again, $100,000 fine, no suspension. For the first time yesterday, there was an ability for him to be asked about it, and he chose to handle it like this.
It is what it is, and I take everything full responsibility, so on to the next.
Was it just frustration boiled over? Is that what happened?
Yeah, on to the next. I mean, there's not much, 2 days ago, not much for me to say about it right now.
Were there any conversations that you had with people or anything just to kind of, like, apologize or whatever, maybe take responsibility?
Do you have any basketball questions?
No.
All right, so earlier this morning, I gave my thoughts at great length. I found that pathetic in every way that something can possibly be pathetic. Does anyone have anything they want to add? I mean, we all generally shared that feeling to make sure that everyone is quite clear on what just happened. Jamal Murray did not address the media after the game that night. So this was the first time anyone had an opportunity to ask him anything about it, and for him to act as though it's inappropriate for him to be asked those questions 2 days after the fact is a joke. And frankly, in the way he handled it, I thought was pathetic and weak, and I added a lot of other words earlier.
I know we hate to be Monday morning quarterbacks, but we often play that game, considering we come on Mondays after NFL games. Does it make you think differently about the fine that the NBA has given him now hearing those words?
I'm seeing a lot of people are posting on social media. I kind of went in on this earlier this morning, if you're just joining us, and a lot of people are tweeting at me, do you think the league now seeing that wishes they'd suspended him? And the answer is no. This doesn't have anything to do with that. I thought they should have suspended him in the first place. But the league makes its decisions based on whatever criteria they did. I respect it. It's their decision to make, not mine. But Jamal Murray only decides how he reacts to it after the fact. And I thought that reaction was, to call it lacking, would not be nearly strong enough.
Jay, well, no, I don't think that the league feels any type of way. To me, that just revealed a little bit more of his character in moments where things get tough. This is the first time in 2 years post-championship that they have been down in a series. Now we're going to see what the Denver Nuggets are made of. Now we're going to see the MVP have an opportunity to show everyone what he can do. And now we're going to have to see Jamal Murray after The second worst shooting performance, 3 for 18, 17%. Now, this is how you follow up. I don't know if that's really leadership. Now, they might have a kumbaya now because they're going to see all of this bad news and say, hey, we have to do better. But to me, it was not necessarily, oh, they made a mistake, because based off of what we saw, if the ref saw the money sign, if the ref saw the first towel, if the ref actually understood the significance of throwing a heat pack out that could injure someone, then we would have got a suspension, in my opinion, not just a fine. But because they didn't see those in real time, I think it changed the scope of what happened. So moving forward now, he showed up at availability. You know, this just tells me about his character when things are getting tough. That's not good. Hopefully he learns from it. And they'll have to learn a lot to not just bask on the court, but also off the court to beat this team.
Well, because a tree falls in the forest and nobody's there to see it doesn't mean that the tree didn't fall. So my thing is, if the league can go back and review it and they see all these different things.
But his comments don't make, like, they're not reviewable for the league.
No, I understand. I'm not talking about the point. It goes back to, I feel like he should have been suspended.
Oh, me too. But that's
the money sign, that
part of it we do have to move on from. They made their decision. I don't think that his comments now. Look, you and I both thought he should have been suspended in the first place. His comments didn't change that one way or the other. Go ahead.
There may be a few things. I don't hate very many things. I hate when somebody doubles down when they're in the wrong. And I know that Jamal Murray didn't acknowledge that he should have threw the towel. Like, he didn't double down on the action, but he doubled down on being childish. Throwing something when you're upset and losing control of your emotions is childish. And then not looking someone in the eye, not acknowledging a question, not wanting to answer a question, that is also childish. So that is the first thing. The act was childish. The response was childish. And then when you talk about response, his answer gives Minnesota an edge. It gives them an edge, because if I'm there with the Timberwolves, I say, he's still shook. He's still shaken up. He doesn't even want to answer questions about this situation. We've got him where we want him. Had Jamal Murray come out, stood with his chest up and said, listen, this is what happened. This is how I acted. This is why. And this is how I'm going to address it moving forward. I'd be like, oh, okay, he's ready to move on. If I'm on the Timberwolves side, I'm like, he's not even ready to move on. We got him. We got him where we want him.
He is so lucky that Karl-Anthony Towns is not out for the rest of the playoffs, which was about a quarter of an inch from happening, and boy, would this conversation be different. In the meantime, the conversation will go to Sir Charles as we continue next. Did you hear what Mr. Barkley had to say last night? He blasted the Knicks. He blasted their fans. It's all in good fun, and it's delightful. You will hear that coming up. But first, here we go, Jay Will.
Let's go, Jay Will.
Hembo's coming for you.
Wendy, you're not going to help me?
Everyone going to help.
I'm sorry, who?
Who was the Knicks' leading scorer in the playoffs the last season in which they reached the conference finals, which they're two wins away from doing now? The answer is next on Get Up ESPN.
You claiming New Jersey now?
Delicious, meet nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
All right, everybody's in here, and this is a great multi-layered question, because you need to know which year it happened and then who the player was. The Knicks are 2 wins away from a conference final. Who was their leading scorer the last time they made, the last season in which they reached the conference final?
So Wendy and I were talking about
it. When do we think it was?
1999, right, Wendy?
I think so.
That's the last time they made the NBA final. It may not be the last time they made the conference final. I'm not saying it isn't, but
Playoff is the thing that confuses me. Like,
who is their leading scorer?
I feel like Latrell Sprewell.
I'm guessing Charlie Ward.
I'll go with Latrell.
Latrell Sprewell is right.
Oh! Wait, I didn't do anything. I didn't help you at all.
You hurt my hand.
Did you do that?
Latrell Sprewell.
Hey.
Oh, my God.
Followed by Allen Houston, followed by Ewing. But let the record show, it was not 99. It was the following year. The Knicks lost to the Pacers in the conference final in 2000.
Regular season leading scorer? Was it Al?
Allen Houston was the regular. Off me. I love the competitiveness of it. All right, speaking of the Knicks, did you guys see Shaq?
You look a little relieved.
Listen, guys, did you guys see Shaq and Charles Barkley last night talking about the Knicks and the fans?
Oh, yes.
Just enjoy this.
The Knicks win, that'll be good. You care who wins, cut it out.
I don't care who wins, but I will tell you what, I would love to see them get their ass stomped by the Celtics. That'd be great.
Then you care who wins.
I mean, I'm just saying, whoever wins this series is going to get stomped by the Celtics.
Well, you said you'd be happy to see it.
Yeah, because the New Yorkers, y'all deserve it. Because y'all think y'all the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Tell them, Chuck.
Come on, y'all ain't that good in New York.
What else, Chuck?
Come on, man, y'all overrated.
What else, Chuck?
It's because y'all make good pizza and good bagels.
I mean, and it goes on and on from there. I need to take a cue from, as the host, from Shaq there. Mm-hmm. Next time anyone's on a roll, I'm just going to be like, what else, Rex? He's rolling along. What else, Rex? That's unbelievably good little side hosting from Shaq over there. So, again, Kenny Smith, who's sitting right next to him, for those who don't know, is from New York.
From the Bronx.
And we all know that that Spike Lee is one of his best friends. So he's having a little fun at the expense of the New Yorkers and the New York fans. And I get it. And I cannot speak on behalf of all of us. But what I will ask the question is, are the Knicks overrated? He's essentially saying the Knicks are overrated. I think he's really more talking about the city and their fans, the way Stephen A. always destroys the Cowboy fans. But are the Knicks overrated?
No, the basketball team isn't overrated. I think he is talking about the fans. I think they're rated exactly where they're supposed to be. I mean, look, injuries are a part of the playoffs. We're seeing that throughout both the Western and the Eastern Conference. And the reality is the Knicks can only play the teams in front of them. So they played Joel Embiid. He was hurt. They won. They're playing the Pacers. They have guys in their team who are hurt. They're winning. It is what it is. They're rated exactly where they're supposed to be.
Yeah, Charles was doing what we like to call dragging it. He was dragging it, okay? That's exactly what he was doing. But I don't think anyone, even Knicks fans, do Knicks fans really think this Knicks team is going to beat the Celtics in a 7-game series? I don't think so.
I think the Knicks fans believe that if they were fully healthy, they would have had a real shot. I don't think that's an unreasonable thing to say.
Yeah, I would believe that. But I think this Knicks team is a great team. That would be even better if they were fully healthy, and I think everybody sees it that way.
If they were healthy, and by that I mean Julius Randle, who hasn't played since January, whatever it has been, then I think I would have given them the puncher's chance. I think the question now is, if they lose Ananobi, and look, we're not doctors, but that looked real bad, right? The next two games are tomorrow night and then Sunday afternoon. The turnaround is quick. And then game 5, if they're assuming there is one, is Tuesday. So they don't get an extra off day in this series until between games 5 and 6, should that be necessary. Like, without Ananobi, are the Knicks even still in control of this series despite being up 2-0?
Absolutely, because of the latter half of your sentence. They're up 2-0. All they have to do is play slow, play smart, hope that Brunson can be on the floor, steal a game, and then hopefully maybe if it extends to game 7, they have a shot. So I do think the Knicks are not only in the series, I think they can still win it. Will their path be harder? Absolutely, because at the end of the day, the only thing that can slow down the Knicks is their health, availability, and the minutes. So far, they have defied the odds. Josh Hart, Dante DiVincenzo playing so many minutes. And they say, if you talk to anyone, I think Alan Hahn has said it before, we're built for this. We consume food that allows us to do things better at a higher level as athletes to be able to withstand this. They love hooping together. They're rewriting the record, not record books, but the recent history, the narratives that you need a big star, you need a collection of stars to be able to be successful. No, you just need some chemistry. You need some cohesion. You need belief. And to me, that's beautiful basketball. Without OG, Pascal might have bigger games. With a slower Jalen Brunson, maybe Tyrese Haliburton has some confidence coming off of game 2 because we saw he played him better. But still, the Knicks they still find ways because they play hard and they execute better down the stretch.
What Charles is articulating is that nobody outside of New York tends to see New York as ever the underdog.
Right.
Because they tend to get things to kind of go their way, which underscores what Rick Carlisle is saying. But within New York, they realize, and the other thing is they're the number two seed. They were the number two seed. They're favored in this series. They were favored against the 76ers. But because of everything that's happened to this team and because Jalen Brunson personifies an underdog, he's been an underdog his whole career, that is the way the New York feels about this team, which is how it's presented in a lot of ways, when actually the rest of the league says, this is a team that's one of the richest teams in the league with one of the best players in the league.
By the way, could anything be more 2024 than that fan in the Brunson jersey when Anunoby is hurt, sitting there with his phone, like, oh, look, he's lying on the ground, writhing in pain, 4 feet from me. I'm going to immediately make sure I record this moment for posterity, even though our team's chances of winning are slipping away right in front of us. Anyway, tonight we've got a playoff doubleheader, couple games two, game twos tonight on ESPN. In the app, we got in the East, we got the Cavs and Celtics, and then the West game, of course, is the Mavs and the Thunder. All the action starts with NBA Countdown tonight, 6:30 Eastern here on ESPN. Quick game of More or Less looking ahead to those games. J. Will, Luka tonight against OKC, more or less 31.5 points.
I'm going to go less. I'm really worried about Luka's lift. I mean, with that knee, the lift is not the same. The explosiveness is not the same. I understand big body, but the athletes that OKC has, I'm going to go less.
Chinay, let's go to SGA. More or less 30.5 points for him against the Mavs tonight.
I think we might see a little bit of a revenge game. Got snubbed for MVP, so I'm going to say more. He only had, 29 last game? And so, yeah, I think he wants to make a statement, and he's always done that when he puts his mind to it, and they're coming off of a confident win. So I'm going more for SGA.
Drea, in the East, Jason Tatum had sort of a quiet game one and an easy Celtic win. His number is 27.5. You go more or less?
I'm going less than 27.5. The thing about Jason Tatum is they haven't needed him to put points on the board. They're still winning by a landslide. Where I think they'll need him is on the road. That's where I think he breaks out tonight. I don't think he gets more than 27.5.
All right, we'll see if the Cavaliers, who were within punching distance, or shouting distance, I should say, as the fourth quarter began of that game. We'll see if they're able to get closer tonight. First Take, meanwhile, is coming up next. A lot of this crew is headed across the hall. Is Stephen A. Moore hyped or worried about the Knicks? Does Rick Carlisle have a legitimate gripe? First Take, top of the hour, right here on ESPN.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
Get Up is brought to you by Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. It's only in theaters beginning tomorrow. All right, here's the next UFC Fight Night with a heavyweight main event that should be a slugfest. The prelims begin Saturday, 4 Eastern, followed by the main card at 7 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and on ESPN+. Most of our crew has gone over to First Take. They're coming up in 25 seconds. Windman, will you get a nap at any point today?
Unlikely.
We need to get Windy some rest. I'm a little worried about him. He's covering practices and night games.
It's not good when you're on Get Up and you're on SVP.
Yeah,
I should get something for that.
It's good for us, but that's a little rough on you. And now he's going to do the radio with me as we continue. And First Take starts now.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt.
One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.